T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Friend of the show, Ryan Clark. His takeaway from the interview he did with Mike Tomlin that went viral last week. Tomlin being excited about this season, excited to see what life will be like without Ben Roethlisberger. Am I excited to see what life will be like without Malzi for the next 2 weeks? Malzi on paternity leave. An announcement forthcoming on Malzi's new kid. Chris Mueller continues to create more Mullers. What the world needs now is not love, sweet love. What the world needs now is more Mullers. And a second one was delivered this morning. And Malzi will soon be sending out photographs, names, pounds and ounces on the baby. Donnie, were you a big baby? Did you come out 11 pounds, 4 ounces?
Now, contrary to my size now as a bigger person.
You were a late bloomer.
Yeah, I think I was like a normal size, like 6 pounds, 8 ounces. Yes, I think that's a normal size.
And you have made up for lost time. But you are also looking more svelte today because you went for another run. You accomplished your 30 miles in 30 days feat. So congratulations on all your aerobic success and cardiovascular success, Donnie. Donnie, did you ever have a smart aleck English teacher who told you the difference between the word eager and the word anxious?
Actually, no. It was often the, can I go to the bathroom? And it was the, I don't know, can you?
Ugh. Was that at Greensburg-Salem? What teacher was that?
Well, I had multiple teachers.
It was a running gag there.
And it wouldn't always be towards me. I would just hear other
kids
ask that, and they would get the same response.
The difference between eager and anxious. When you are actually looking forward to something and you're excited, you're not anxious for it. Anxious means anxiety. Anxiety means that you are nervous. There's unease. There's trepidation. There's apprehension. There's fear. There's all of those things. And then there's eager. Donnie is eager for his fourth date because the first three have gone so well with the girl he's talking to. Donnie is eager for the first Steelers tailgate of the year. Donnie is eager to crack open that first can of Icy Light Mango at Colony's 4th of July party this weekend. Eager means you are excited. You're yearning for something. You're enthusiastically excited. You can't wait. Anxious is not that. So I'm not here to be your 8th grade English teacher. But I'm just saying that Mike Tomlin could have been anxious to see what life would be like without Ben Roethlisberger. Instead, according to Ryan Clark, who sat down with the man for more than an hour, he thinks Mike Tomlin is eager. He thinks he's actually looking forward to it. And I would be looking forward to it too. I would be clicking my heels like the Scarecrow, holding Dorothy's hand down the yellow brick road to Steelers training camp and the Steelers season if I was sure that Kenny Pickett was going to be their quarterback this year. But I'm not. Because every insider I talk to says it's going to be Mitch Trubisky's job to start. And one of the things I hear about Mitch Trubisky and the Steelers quarterback situation for this season is that almost no matter what, Mitch Trubisky will be better than the Ben Roethlisberger we watched last year. I put up a poll question this morning because I have no life. And the question was, if Mitch Trubisky starts for the Steelers this season, will he be better than last year's Ben? 78% of Steelers fans said, yes, he will be better than Ben. Unlike Steelers fans, I do my homework. I look things up. I don't just speak out of my big hairy fanny. Mitch Trubisky would be better than last year's Ben. Are we sure about that? Last year's Ben, 22 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Mitch Trubisky's best year in Chicago. The year, what was it called? The double doink? Was that what they dubbed the missed field goal there, Donnie? It went off two crossbars. It was a double miss.
Yeah, against the Bears.
Yeah.
Or against the Eagles.
Against the Eagles, a double doink. Trubisky that year, his banner year was Chicago. 11 wins with the Bears that season for Trubisky. 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. In his best year, he had two more interceptions than Ben last year and two more touchdowns. Pretty much the same numbers. Ben's worst day or Ben's worst year are Mitch Trubisky's best year and best day. So unless you are confident that the Steelers' offensive line and the Steelers' offensive coordinator bring out a version of Mitch Trubisky that we've never seen before, the Mitch Trubisky we are getting as Steelers fans is a guy whose best was Ben Roethlisberger's worst. You can rip Ben, which if Mueller were here right now and not celebrating the birth of his second child, what is his name? I don't know if we're allowed to say yet. We'll wait on that. You can say what you want about Ben. One thing that is absolutely 100% true is that he was money in the fourth quarter last year. Fourth quarter numbers for Ben, 12 touchdowns, one interception. Mitch Trubisky, his career numbers in the fourth quarter, 18 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Old, decrepit, limping around, put this man in the nursing home, get him a bowl of pistachio ice cream, Ben Roethlisberger, could still get it done in the fourth quarter. Mitch Trubisky has been garbage in Italian in the fourth quarter. This is not Andrew Filippone being pessimistic and saying, be careful what you wish for now that Ben is gone. It's just to bring you back to reality on Mitchell Trubisky. But Andrew, the Bears ruined him. But Andrew, The Bears did him dirty. But Pony, the Bears were the problem. Right. So his offensive line here and his offensive coordinator here are going to give him a much better chance. Gotcha on that. Donnie, do you agree with that? That if Mitch Trubisky starts the entire season, he will be better than last year's Ben.
So I think I sent a tweet out right after they made the signing because I was sitting in the back with you and Malzi.
Did Malzi brainwash you or force you to send something about Trubisky that was...
I mean, it wasn't that it was like overly positive.
Okay.
But I think all I said was, you know what? Just give me what Big Ben gave last year. Because if you can do that through the air, and so, you know, he's better on his feet. He's younger than what Ben was last year. So he should be better on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Then we should have a guy just as good, if not better. But that's all I'm asking him. That's all my expectation is. And of course, this was before they
signed,
drafted Kenny. But all I'm asking for is to give me the same or close to what Ben did last year through the air.
It's not what, it's when talking about Ben's 2021 season. What he did was not impressive. When he did it, though, matters. His fourth quarter numbers were as good, if not better, than any quarterback in the NFL. Malzi would downplay that. I do not. We should overvalue clutch performance. But Pony, they were down in those games. All the more reason to take those numbers and celebrate them. Because he needed to be better because they were in a hole. Now, was some of that self-created? Fine, I'll grant you that. But I'd rather have a quarterback put up sparkling numbers in the fourth quarter than at any other point in the game. So Tomlin is eager to see what life is like without Big Ben. If it's Trubisky, I'm anxious. I'm not sharing that excitement. I know what Donnie is excited about today.
Here's the 2-2. Welcome back. Skies went out to deep right of center field. This one's back. This one is gone into the first row of seats. Over that 12-foot wall in right center, Daniel Vogelbach with his 10th home run. And the Pirates have tied it at 3. Well, the long ball buckos keep on hitting.
Daniel Vogelbach will join us at 3:30. We need to figure out between now and then if we call him Dan or Daniel. Because Block went Daniel, and the text I got from Pirates PR is Dan. And I know how much you like Vogelbach, and I really do not want to get off on the wrong foot with him. I think there's a lot of potential here.
When I also noticed he's not active on Twitter, but yep, he is on Instagram, and he does have it as Daniel Vogelbach on Instagram.
Maybe before we bring him on, you ask him off the air, hey, what do you prefer? You know, one of those deals. Do you prefer Don, Donald, or Donnie? You want Donnie. If I called him Danny, he might fight me. He's a big guy, and he's a strong guy, but also a good guy. And he's going to join us later in the show. The other thing we're taking a look at today is this bombshell story that just came out a few minutes ago. The Big Ten is adding USC and UCLA as soon as 2024. In related news, USC is paying Jordan Addison more than $3 million a year. When you poach and steal a player from another school, and you pay him that amount of money, you need more money. Big Ten, SEC, follow the money. You go where the money is. We are learning that college football, amateurism is dead. We went back to the spot where amateurism was created a year later, and that thing was dead. There is no amateurism left. USC and UCLA cannot wait for those USC-Rutgers games on Big Ten Network. I mean, what is happening to college football? I love the games themselves. A Saturday with college football where you turn on the TV at 10 to watch game day, and then you'd watch it all the way through till like midnight is glorious. It's awesome. And we've got a lot of local teams in air quotes and a lot of different loyalties here. There's Pitt, there's Penn State, there's West Virginia, there's Notre Dame, there's a little bit of Ohio State sprinkled in. I mean, you go to a sports bar on Saturday, it's packed, all kinds of games on. I mean, it's the game itself is phenomenal. But the actual business of college sports and college football right now sucks. And what's happened to the game because of the money that comes with getting into the biggest conferences? It's ruined the regional nature of college football in a lot of ways. We're going to get Pitt in West Virginia this year, September 1st. So we're pretty much exactly, 2 months away from that. But that's not an annual thing. It's on the books for, 8 years? But it's not something that's guaranteed like it should be. Pitt's not playing Penn State anymore. These are all things that have been sacrificed at the altar of big money in college sports. So USC and UCLA are rivals who leave together, but instead of playing other California schools like Cal and Stanford, they're now going to play Iowa and Northwestern every year. One of the relics of college football, one of the traditions that has been maintained throughout all of the chaos, is the pageantry of the Rose Bowl. We need to have a parade on January 1st. And if the Rose Bowl is not in the college football playoff, we got to have Big Ten versus Pac-12 at the Rose Bowl on January 1st. Well, who the frig is going to be left to play the Big Ten in the Rose Bowl if the Pac-12 is losing two of its biggest schools? This move takes a crap on the most popular, most classic, most traditional game in all of college football. So I'm sure that was an awkward phone call. UCLA plays its games in the Rose Bowl. I'm sure the Rose Bowl committee crapped itself when they found out about this news today. Penn State fans are excited. They say at least 108,000 fans will be in State College for that first Penn State-UCLA game. They are excited to show everybody out west what a whiteout looks like in Happy Valley. Penn State fans reacting to this by saying, Pitt fans, don't get jealous. More proof that this is the premier league in college sports that you weren't invited into and you're not a part of. So, you can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Donnie, do you want to get tickets now for that? Should we call? Or is every Penn State seat accounted for? Do they even do single game tickets, or do we have to get on the season ticket waiting list to make sure we get first crack at Penn State UCLA?
I think we better get on the list now. Although,
yep,
we have our little buddy, America's sweetheart. He's our guy. He covers Penn State football. He's going to get to go out to Los Angeles at some point to cover the Nittany Lions. That's who I'm actually happiest for most here.
Is that your friend, America's sweetheart, Joe Smeltzer?
Yeah, if he's still, you know, doing the same thing.
That he gets to go to, he gets an expense paid trip to Southern California out of this.
I hope it's expense paid.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Moving to the Big Ten, the Big Ten Network will help USC pay Jordan Addison's salary this year. Big Ten money. A lot of 9 a.m. kickoffs for those kids now. Set your alarm clock for big noon kickoff. USC and Illinois. 9 a.m. local start in L.A. Bruce Gradkowski, in a half hour, does he think Kenny Pickett is Joe Burrow? Does he think 2022 Mitch Trubisky is better than 2021 Big Ben? Dan Vogelback loves to hit dingers. Joins us in an hour. Jason Mackey, Pirates insider and flip-flopper, joins us right now. Hello, Jason.
What's up, Andrew? What was that last part? Flip-flopper?
Flip-flopper. Flip-flopper. Like you change opinions on things.
How do I change opinions?
You went from very adamantly against trading Brian Reynolds to now putting together hypothetical trade packages that you love for Brian Reynolds to get him out of here.
What? I did what?
That was a little graphic sent out by the fan yesterday from your appearance on Joe Starkey's show. Yes. You have a trade in mind
for
Brian Reynolds that you love. Yep, a pitcher, a top 100 prospect. Send them to Pittsburgh, and let's get Brian Reynolds to the Yankees or the Jays or one of those places. Yes.
Was that really turned into a graphic? And
There was a little picture of Brian Reynolds hitting a ball. And then there was a very nicely put together quote from you on what it would take to get him out of here. Yeah.
Wow. I don't believe this. This is fake news. I feel like a
Jason
reporter
Mackey.
That's covered by a beat, or an athlete.
It would take
a beat reporter.
It would take a top pitching prospect and a top 100 prospect on Cook and Joe. Is that
yeah,
a lie?
That's not a trade that I love. That's not a trade I'm endorsing. That's not a trade I want to see. I was answering a question with what.
Well, then why didn't you include
what it would take?
Why didn't they include in it? But I think they'd be crazy to take the deal. Did you say that?
Yeah, I said, I don't think they're going to trade him. That was the end of the interview, or the end of my answer to the question.
No, but I'm saying if they get a top pitching prospect and a top 100 prospect, if that somehow gets offered and they do it, are you saying that you would actually criticize that deal?
Well, I mean, you got to give me a more concrete deal to make a decision on. Here's how it went down with Joe, and let me explain. So he said, if an organization gave you their top pitching prospect, would you trade Brian Reynolds? And I said, no, not straight up. But if there was a package that included, let's say, a top pitching prospect from a legit farm system, meaning like if I got the Rays top pitching prospect plus another top 100 prospect, yes, I would consider trading Brian Reynolds for that deal. Two top 100 prospects, yes, I would do that. And I think other people would think seriously about it. And I don't even know if I said I would do it. I mean, that's something that would start a discussion with me. And I think that's a reasonable answer. I think anybody would have that discussion if somebody came down with two top 100 prospects and said, let's talk.
Do you think that offer will come the Pirates' way in the next couple of months?
No, I don't.
You do not? Why?
No, I don't. Because I think I don't think teams are willing to part with prospects of that stature. They
Why not?
Keep them and use them.
The Pirates gave up more than that for Chris Archer.
Well, that doesn't make that a good trade or something anybody should replicate. It's the exact opposite of something somebody should replicate. You know, teams are keeping their guys more. You see them playing around the league. They're relying on young talent at the early end of the age curve. It saves money. I mean, I always use the example of the Penguins when they won back-to-back cups. One of the things they had was cheap labor. They had young players playing on bargain basement.
Well, then why is Buster only trying to fan the flames then? What does he know today? He's talking about this in trade context. On paper, a perfect fit for the Jays, Yankees, or Padres.
Yeah, I mean,
Brian Reynolds
on any team in Major League Baseball. It's are they going to give up what the Pirates are going to require to trade Reynolds?
It doesn't sound like they are. So I don't even know why these insiders are even entertaining the idea of him getting traded then. If there's no way a team will meet the Pirates' asking price, then there's no way he gets traded. So let's move on.
I agree with you, but you're the one amplifying what they're saying. I'm not. I didn't even know Buster Olney said that.
You should retweet or quote, yes, crap. You should quote treat Buster Olney in big capital letters and say, Buster, not happening.
Well, I'll take a look at what he tweeted and then decide if I want to tweet it or not.
Okay.
But I mean, Andrew, think about it this way. This is one of the inputs in my feeling on Brian Reynolds. Do you really think Bob Nutting's going to go to the extent that he did to fix what he did? Clearly, they don't spend a lot of money. He said, you know what? This is not acceptable how we're treating Brian Reynolds. We're going to fix this, and we're going to pay him this amount of money over 2 years. Do you think he's going to come back 3 months later and say, let's trade this guy? He just spent this money.
I don't think he would, but is he leaving Ben Cherington alone to do his job? And if Ben Cherington thought he got a good deal, would he just trust Ben to make the trade?
Well, I think we're talking about two different conversations. If Ben Cherington got a deal that was worth making, then yes, you make the trade. I mean, you have to do what's best for your team. But we're going to disagree on what's the deal worth making. And I explained to Joe like what I felt like would be a conversation starter, and I stand by that. I think the Pirates would relatively agree with that, or at least, you know, it's in the ballpark. I mean, they're not going to just trade him for the sake of trading him. If they get wowed by an offer, yeah, they're going to consider it. But they don't need to. I don't think they want to.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody is going to present a scenario where they can really make their team better, then that'd be stupid not to entertain it.
Well, they wouldn't make their major league team better. No
That's
matter
okay.
what. If they trade him, it won't make their major league team better because they won't get major leaguers back. So it would make their team worse.
It'll make their organization better, and they have
Correct.
To look at it like that. Fans are only going to look at the major league team, but if you're the Pirates, it's a fair thing to say, like, we have to look at the whole cycle. We can't look at the nine positions on the field. We have to understand who's where in contract status, who's going to fill in behind.
But he's got a ton of years left. He doesn't become a free agent until 2026.
I know. I mean, we're singing out of the same hymnal here. I mean, I'd keep riding that. I would extend him. You know, I would not trade him unless, again, somebody dangles something ridiculous. Then, you know, if I can pull one over on somebody, I'm going to do it. Just I don't think it's a mistake.
And let's be honest, the last time Cherington had a big chip to trade, who was a position player, at least with the Pirates, and I'm not criticizing the overall job Cherington has done, but the one time he had a pretty good position player to trade, he completely effed up that trade, Jason. Would you agree?
Yes. Thank well, you. Completely effed up is a strong way of putting it.
Well, who did they get back for Josh Bell? Right, they got fleeced. They got fleeced. Absolutely fleeced. Not to the extent
we
of Chris Archer.
The other offers.
But they got, well.
Do you think he looked at good trades and said, no, I'll take the bad ones? I mean, they were not going to sign
since
Josh
when,
Bell.
But since when do we do that where we say, well, we really can't, even years later, grade a trade because we don't know what else was out there? No, you grade the trade on its own merits. It was a terrible trade.
Okay. I just think terrible trade is not, because like Will Crow could still be a legitimate major league reliever, okay? And you got something back for a guy. We don't know what Eddie Yean's going to become. He's like 19 or 20 years old. Like, no, right now it doesn't look good.
Right.
Right now they're on the losing end of the trade.
Correct.
I'm completely with you. And if you look at Josh Bell and what he's doing this year, you would objectively say, man, they should have gotten more. But we weren't in Ben Cherington's seat looking at what his offers were. I don't know if he should have gotten
more. Well, then
he
shouldn't have traded him.
I looked at it from my Yeah, fair. I mean, and also reasonable.
And would you agree that one of the things right now that Pirates fans are wondering about is, why is somebody like Josh Van Meter playing and somebody like Kelvin Mitchell is riding buses around the minor leagues, Jason? What is that all about?
Well, they don't play the same position, number one. But as far as Josh Bell, let me just circle back to that. Like, I do think he can be criticized for making that trade when he did. Like,
okay.
Sit on that thing. There's nothing that said you had to make that trade right then.
Exactly.
And Will Crow and Eddie Yean, no. It did not give me enough to feel like, oh, my goodness, I have to do this right now. So if somebody feels that way, by all means, criticize away. But to the other point, Andrew, like, I look at this, there are three outcomes here. And let me try to explain this as best I can. Like, either these guys come up and they absolutely stink and the Pirates stink and they tank and they get a high draft. That's sort of a victory for the Pirates. Maybe these guys play, and I mean like veteran players who are rehabbing now, the Van Meters of the world. Maybe a couple of these guys play and actually do something with the playing time. Like Yoshi Tsutsugo isn't terrible, or Ben Gamble plays well, or something like that, and they can trade them. They can flip them into prospects. That's also beneficial to the Pirates. The third outcome is say, screw it. DSA, all you guys, we're going to play the young kids. And I understand where fans want to see that happen, because they want to see young guys come up and grow in these positions. However, I think it is a little bit pragmatic from the Pirates' perspective. I understand what they're doing, saying, like, look, we have assets that we don't completely want to punt on. We want to somehow try to get something back for these guys. Now, I agree, Van Meter's excessive. It's not like you're going to flip Van Meter for three prospects at the deadline. What I'm trying to do is sort of explain the entire philosophy here with, like, Gamble, Yoshi, guys that are going to be in there regularly.
Jason, you have to cover the locker room, which does that include Andrew McCutchen today or no?
I mean, he'll be down the hall.
Are you going to go say hi?
I might scoot over there. I might. I don't know. It depends on who's in the Pirates clubhouse.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's some guys back. I don't think we've gotten game notes, which generally means there's something up and they have guys due back. So it wouldn't shock me if I had some stuff to take care of in the Pirates. Died, but I saw him in Milwaukee, and I wrote my Kutch story. I'm not sure if there's, although he's been pretty decent lately.
Yes, he has been. All right, Jason, thank you so much for entertaining me today.
Good talk, man. Take care.
There you go, Jason Mackey. This music means it's time for Hockey Talk. I played another riveting best of three series with Pittsburgh Joe on NHL 94 last night. I was up 1-0, and in game two, he picked the Penguins, and to throw him off his game, I went with the Islanders. Barrasso, bad giveaway, passed it to me a la Tristan Jarry against the Islanders in the 2021 Stanley Cup playoffs, allowing for me to take a 3-2 lead and win the game and win the series. Congratulations on all my early 90s video game success. We have a clip here from Penguins president Brian Burke on Sportsnet. This is Sportsnet in Canada. This is Jeff Merrick. This is from the Sportsnet.ca website. Burke on the state of, this is brand new, on the state of negotiations between the Penguins and Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin.
Nothing's changed with regard to our personnel. We want to sign both players. Everyone should be emphatically clear on that. We would like to bring both players back, but they got to come back at term and contract dollars that make sense. So we want both players back. They've got to come back with the length of the contract and the amounts of the salaries that make sense. And if not, they're not coming back. What people should be very clear on is not that we're not interested in having them back. We want them back, but they've got to come back at numbers that make sense and don't leave us cap handcuffed. And if that doesn't happen, they're not coming back. So it's very simple for us. We want them back. They've got to come back on terms that make sense or they won't be back. So we should know, I'm guessing, in the next little bit with both players. We've made determined efforts to meet with and to sign Chris Letang. Less determined with Malkin, only because we got to know how much money we have to work with and we got to put this jigsaw puzzle together. So very direct discussions with the agent for Evgeny Malkin, but less intense in terms of there's got to be some sequence here. One has to sign, then the other, and then, or maybe neither of them. So we'll see. But it's coming to a head soon.
I think Malkin is a pretty prideful guy. He wears his emotion on his sleeve when he plays. That's a good thing. He can channel his rage or his anger, and it can lead to times where he takes over games. It also can lead to times where it gets put in the wrong place, and he takes a bad penalty, or he sulks, or something like that. That's the on-ice of Evgeny Malkin. How about the off-ice version of him? If you were considered one of the greatest players of all time, and you were considered one of the best players in Penguins history, how would you feel about what you just heard? Hey, Evgeny, we'd like to bring you back, but we've got to see what Chris Letang wants first. Letang means more than you. We want Letang more than we want you. We'd rather have Letang than you. All of that can be true. I think all of that is probably right, based on where they're going in their career, how they're playing currently, in present time, not paying or rewarding the past, but trying to predict the future, the positions they play, top defenseman, second line center. All of those things should make Letang more important and a bigger priority. But I'm just not sure, Malkin, I'm just not sure that would sit right or well with me if I were him. Hey, we don't know how much money we're going to have left with Letang. So he's got to either say no to us or he's got to take a team-friendly deal before we even get to you. Evgeny Malkin right now is on the back burner. We can't even have serious contract negotiations with you because we've got something else we've got to handle first. They've put Evgeny Malkin in the waiting room, and the doctor has made no guarantee that he's going to even see Malkin today. That might piss him off. And so when Yoey reported a couple days ago that Malkin and the Penguins weren't talking regularly, it's because Burke just said it. There is nothing to talk about right now. Because Letang comes first, and I would look at it probably the same way if I were the Penguins. But I think I would have more. I think I would have a better bedside manner about it. Dealing with someone that has meant so much to this team, that has helped them win 3 Stanley Cups, and Letang really only helped them win 2 because he was out during that playoff run. And I'm not saying anything to be derogatory towards him. It's just the facts. And I'm also, again, allowing for the idea that he's better than Malkin is right now, plays a more premium position, and I think has more years left to give.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.